Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Ultra Hope Girls, a Danganronpa podcast. We are your hosts, Maddie, Mary, and Caroline, and we're thrilled because this time we're going to be finishing up our analysis of Chapter 1 of V3, the long-anticipated third killing game in the series. We're going to keep talking about it today. This episode will contain all of our notes that start from the beginning of the trial in this chapter, and the second half of this episode will also be notes that spoil the whole game in regards to this chapter. So we'll be looking at kind of connecting some of the dots throughout the whole game and its ending and what we see going on in chapter one that relates to that. So it'll be good stuff. But if you have not finished the whole game yet, if you're just playing chapter by chapter, we recommend that you cut off probably at the ad
At the
break of
commercial
this
break.
episode. Yes, at the ad break. That is where you should stop listening. In sum, the first half of this episode will spoil.
Chapter 1, V3.
And the second half of this episode will spoil.
The entirety of V3.
That's right, folks. Without further ado, I'm Maddie.
I'm Marin.
And I'm Caroline.
And we're the Ultra Hope Girls.
Welcome to the Danganronpa Podcast.
You're on the threshold of an amazing episode. Showtime.
I have very few notes for the trial.
I don't have a lot either.
Pre-spoilers.
Yeah, I have a few. Sorry, I'm pulling up my phone because I took notes on my phone for half of it. Classic Caroline right here.
Perfect.
Hi. Now we're in a trial.
We
We're
are.
in the trial, and I have to say, I think that as a player of this game, I think that the trial instructions are the most detailed and well written, I guess, so far in all the games. I feel like in the past, and I don't know if it's because I'm playing the Switch edition and they've made edits, I'm not sure, honestly, but I think that the instructions are very clear. In the past, there are times when I'm playing like DR2 or Trigger Happy Havoc with another person, and they're like, "What am I supposed to do right now?" And I'm like, "I don't know, because I don't know." So that's kind of nice, you know. Yeah.
On that note, I'm playing on my computer and it is not clear. It's clear in so it's clear in that everything is understood except there are no button translations, and so it says like A B X Y instead
Right.
of W A S D. And so anytime there is a button command, which is frequent, I'll have you know, I'm over here just mashing buttons until it tells me I've done something correct. And then I'll stick with that button.
Love
But
just
it's,
blind guessing. We love
yeah,
that.
B is apparently D. I remember that from this time because in the whole like button pressing at the end, that's the one that I had to press. I don't know if that's a
Yeah.
universal experience for all Steam players, but it is
I
my
have to
experience.
say, I have to say, when I first started playing this game, I actually had it downloaded on Steam as well on my computer, and I had to stop playing. I actually, the controls were so bad that I requested a refund on the game, and then I downloaded it to my PS4 instead, and it was so much better on the PS4. It was like
Yeah.
no issues there at all. But on the computer, it was like, it was actually a mess. Like, they did not plan for this being playable on the computer at all. I think they
Yeah.
just were like, yeah, let's put it on Steam too. And it was like not good. It was like, I'm trying to remember exactly what issue I was having. I think that like there were times when my mouse like wouldn't move. And there were other times when like I would press a button and it would press like three different buttons in the game. Like I'd press one button on my keyboard and like three things would happen. And I'd be like, what on earth is going on? Like it was so bad.
That's
I
bad.
actually like was like, this is not playable for me on my computer. It was completely
Yeah.
unplayable.
Well, the other thing is like that's weird about that is the fact that the first two games are on Steam and there is no problem. There is
Right.
not an issue. So yeah, I'm
Right.
not sure what's up with that. I'm just saying, Spike Chunsoft, it is not too late to fix that. Please give us an update. Thank you.
Please tell me which buttons to press.
Please, God.
I looked at like a Reddit thread or something when I was like trying to figure out what was going on with that. And I think like most people were saying that the game is like acting as if you have like a game control or GameCube or whatever the term for it is, like plugged into your computer. And I'm like, okay, but I feel like most people don't have something like that. Like if you're gaming on your computer, I feel like most people are just using their keyboard and mouse, you know?
Yeah, I like pulled up the control explanation while I was playing just to see if it had like any tidbits of help. And it showed an Xbox controller. And I said, well.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. They did not plan for this.
Well, the other thing that, again, this would have involved a purchase, but the other thing that you can do is get an Xbox, or sorry, a controller for your computer, which,
sure.
Yeah, maybe if you're playing on Steam, assume you're going to have to make that purchase because it's not going to happen any other way.
Or you can button mash like Mara.
Yes.
I made it through the trial, so you can too.
I just remember playing with Marin, like when we, like I would be watching her when we first played this, and she was so frustrated and I was so helpless.
Yeah.
To help. Yeah. I couldn't help her because we were looking at the same Google searches and just like, it was
so
a mess.
Sad.
Anywho, also at one point in the trial, Mew calls Kokichi an abortion.
Yeah,
she had a lot of
zingers,
ways of describing people,
right?
That were a lot.
I gotta say though, I'm enjoying this playthrough so much more. I feel like the first time I played this, I really did not like the characters. So folks who maybe haven't replayed this before or it's been a while, I would recommend replaying it, maybe along with us if you would like, because I am starting to understand why a lot of people love this game so much and why it's so many people's favorite games, because like the characters are so memorable. They're so funny. And like Mew is a great example, especially in this chapter. I was like, oh, love. She's so funny.
Apparently Kokichi has been to prison. So that's fun. That's a fun fact. At least he says he has.
Right, I know.
And Ryoma, right?
Well, right.
Wait, we know Ryoma's been to prison.
Yeah, it's definitely come up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Been in like free time events with him, it comes up. Yeah. We know Ryoma's not lying, but with Kokichi, it's like you never know. You don't know. Honestly, we don't know who he really is.
We have no idea.
Because he just is like, well, we know he's like a manipulative little piece of poo-poo, and
oh wow. Speaking of lying, like we get to lie in this trial, and in the game I feel like it's pretty obvious that that's going to be, you know, a type of truth bullet throughout the game, and like that, I mean, this is the game for Kokichi to be a part of, you know what I mean, like versus one and two where you're not lying. But I guess it kind of makes sense, though, that we're able to lie. I wanted to ask you guys about that. Like, how did you feel about the addition of being able to lie in V3?
You know, it's funny because it actually felt a little uncomfortable, you know, because I'm someone who I feel like I'm somewhat like Makoto and Hajime in that I very much value the truth. I'm like, I don't want to be like trying to fulfill my goals by lying to people, even if it's like a lie that ends up having like positive outcomes, you know, like Kaede lied in order to get to the truth. I still, you know, it's like a little, it's definitely a change from the Danganronpa we know, and it's like almost a little uncomfy, but it's really interesting to me because it just like very much feels like this is a different game. You know, not like a different game in the terms of like the video game sense, like the killing game, the trial. It's like it's a different style of game. It's not just like, yes, let's all just speak what we know and be honest, and that will lead us to the truth. It's like Kaede already knew the truth, and so she was manipulating everyone a little bit to be like, I want this to go the direction I want it to go. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not Shuichi kind of goes that same path, or if that's just kind of a Kaede thing. But that was, it was definitely a choice. It was definitely a new choice.
Yeah, I mean, it is, we've already kind of explored and talked about in our part one of this episode how this game is really challenging our black and white notions of what's right and wrong and what's, you know, all of that. And I think that that is more real to life than the black and white, because most people live in a gray area where we have to compromise our beliefs or our opinions to be in society, you know. And I think this, a big theme of this game is belief and wishes, and lying isn't always bad if it means that the greater truth is revealed, kind of thing. And it, and the characters in this game are a lot more complex. Yeah, I just I really like it because it unpacks, yeah, that, you know. It's like, honestly speaking, there would be lying in a courtroom setting like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, oh, I totally agree. I think it brings in way more of like a human nature type of element to this game versus in the past. Like the fact that there have been no lies in games one and two, other than maybe some that are immediately proven wrong by the person who is guilty. The fact that, you know, the only lies are immediately disproven and shown to be, you know, the person who is guilty in the first two games. It's just kind of wild, you know, like, yeah, it's just, it's different.
And I want to comment also on what Maddie said about how this game just feels different. I totally agree. And I think part of it is, you know, okay, now we've had like six-ish per game trials and murders to unpack or mysteries to solve. And it's like, you know, creators need to come up with weirder and wackier things to make the game interesting and new. Like literally the twist in this chapter, I think, is like a very good example of that. But also, like, I mean, this is the first murder, and I won't obviously spoil any that come after. Spoiler alert, more people die. But it's Danganronpa. You knew what you were in for. But it's, you know, like the way that this murder is, it's so convoluted, and the you know, we joke how every game it feels like the trials get longer, and it's because there's just like more stuff. It's like the murder is so like ridiculously thought out. It's kind of like crazy. So yeah, I think that's also a reason why, like, even the murder itself, I was like, what? Like a normal human being would not be able to come up with that. I mean, these are the ultimates, so it makes sense.
These are the ultimates.
Right. But like, it's just like, whoa, you know? Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
It kind of, I feel like game one and game two were kind of like, do you remember that episode of The Office where it's the rumors episode and Michael,
oh my God,
like, comes up with rumors about everyone and they like trace back a rumor and figure out it's him? That, I'm not trying to belittle game one and two cases. Obviously, when you're in them, it's more than just that. But that is a lot more of the vibe of just like, well, he said this. Oh, no, I heard this from him. And then you figure it out, versus in this game where it's like, I don't know. They've added new layers for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. I do want to touch on perhaps Chris Turgliaferra and I's least favorite piece of evidence ever in a Danganronpa game. And I am going to swear, it's a fucking Cospox. What kind of BS is Cospox?
That, no, is, it's the real. Most... And a dermatologist.
Come on. I literally was like, are you kidding me right now? It just felt like the creators like had to have a reason why Sumugi was innocent or like couldn't dress up as another character. So in the future, that wasn't like a thing, which I kind of understand.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think they did with their,
I'm like, could they just, I don't know. It just was like, that's not real. Usually it sticks so closer to reality than that. I mean, obviously this is a wild situation, but the murders themselves and the evidence is not that outlandish, you know? Anyway, I was like, oh my God, like revisiting that, just, ugh. Anywho.
It makes me think that it's like, Marin, have you ever heard of like someone getting like hives or like a rash from, for like psychosomatic reasons?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
But yeah, I think that's probably what Samugi is experiencing.
That's a good point.
Which, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. It would probably give me a stress reaction if I just, I don't know, showed up and pretended I was Maddie. Because, like, then Maddie would be, like, really freaked out. And I'd be like, I'm Maddie. And everyone would be like, what?
I'm Marin.
And I'm Caroline.
Next time I'll dress as you, Caroline.
Yeah! So oh my gosh, that would actually be hilarious if we like tried to dress as each other, like what we'd come up with. I think that would be so funny. Mine would be a bathrobe, obviously, because that's what I'm wearing right now.
Whoever's dressing as me would pick like a sweatshirt of some sort, very comfy, and you'd have to get a headset, of course.
Right. Oh my gosh, last night, Sarah and I went to a comedy show, and this one comic did a bit on how he was the kid in middle school who wore those nylon sweatpants that made that very specific sound when they walk, like, and I just was like, so, that was like a sensory memory, you know, I like had forgotten about those sweatpants. But no wonder Samugi's breaking out, because there's dust everywhere. Dust on the card reader, dust on the sliding glass door. Just all the dust. Shoichi and his dust.
I remember exactly where that dust is.
I know where every particle was laid. Oh my god. The courtroom in this game, or at least this version, I know it changes some games. I'm not sure if they're going to do that in this game. But the courtroom in this game feels like a church, which makes it almost feel very like divine, but also like a place of like justice, because the church does have like sort of a reputation of being a place of like, you know, wanting to find divine truth, divine right, and all that stuff. So it's just interesting that it has that appearance, and I'm curious if it'll change appearances depending on the chapter. We'll have to find out. But
I would like to nominate two titles for these two episodes we have. The first was just inspired just now. That dust is misplaced, I feel like, could be an option. And then Emotions Are for Meatbags, which is a quote from Kokichi that I'm a pretty big fan of.
Love that. I love when in reaction is like, no, I can calculate emotions. And I was like, what? Okay.
Come on, buddy.
He's such a cutie.
I appreciated the what I'm pretty sure was a Panic at the Disco reference in one of the explanations for the game controls. They were like, oh no, there's been a panic in the courtroom. And it had an exclamation point after panic. So I was like, oh. That's a Panic at the Disco reference. I think it's gotta be, right?
I think so. Yeah. Oh, otherwise it's a very weird coincidence.
I love Panic at the Disco.
There are no coincidences in Danganronpa. That's ever. Canon. Right.
That is kind of true, honestly.
Yeah. That is very true.
I took a note on the moment where Kaede's like internal monologue is switching over and like she's like passing the torch to Shuichi. It reminded me of a musical. I definitely thought someone was going to break out singing, because there was the spotlight shining
on her.
Everyone else like disappears. And she's like, well, Shuichi, this is it. And I just kept expecting like, background. Have you guys seen that TikTok?
I can almost see it. It's like a jukebox musical.
right. Like, I mean, oh my gosh.
Have you seen the TikTok where she does like a bunch of like,
oh yeah,
to start a song in a musical? My favorite is the like, God, how does it go? Oh, give me just a second.
I know all of them. Do you think you're going, Grisabelle?
Yes.
A kitchen wench is a kitchen.
If I said it was an orthodontist.
If you don't know what we're talking about, we will link it below. Because I have it saved.
I don't like you, Tom. I think I'm a homosexual.
My favorite is, I can't be in love. You're my biological nephew.
Oh, no.
Anywho, it's so funny. I remember when Sarah and I had first started dating and we were visiting New York and I couldn't stop singing, "You're my biological nephew." Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, wait, I just saw one today that was like, I literally just saw a TikTok today of like the same concept, and the guy was like, "Wow, I'm moving to New York City," and then the waving through a window instrumental started playing, and he's like, "The rats in the street all have chlamydia, but that's okay."
Oh my god.
Anyway, wow. I'm sorry, I'm getting off.
But that is so true, though. That moment is very musical theater. It is. It's so musical theater. Yes.
It is.
I just have to say that the shot put ball animation of it going down in the books, it looks like something I coded in my like level one computer science class. You know what I mean? Because it's just like the perfect squares and the perfect sphere. It's like what intern at Spike Chunsoft, they were like, "Hey, you have no experience with Java. Here you go. Please make a ball roll down some books."
That's it's like so someone's funny. High school internship.
Right. It just like was so funny because the rest of the animation is really beautiful in this game. And then that's like, what am I watching? It's so funny.
I wanted to make a note that I was going to say, honestly, at the end of this chapter, I was not convinced that Rintaro wasn't the mastermind, because I was like, really, like, you know, in the world of Danganronpa, especially in this third game, it feels like anything is possible, right? The mastermind could be none of these players. It could be someone from a previous game, kind of like in Danganronpa 2. It could be someone dead or whatever. Like, it could be, you know, I was just very much like, people are very, all the characters in the game are very quick to jump to the assumption that, oh, Rintaro died, so he must not be the mastermind, you know? Mm. And we still haven't figured out why he was going and opening that secret door, how he even knew it was there. And for a killing game as elaborate and well planned out as this one and well resourced, I mean, everything is like, whoever is behind this has clearly got some serious resources on hand to be able to put this together, that why shouldn't it be able to continue after the mastermind themselves is killed, you know?
Right.
And maybe that's like a too much like game one. But game one, it also wasn't, you know, she, the true mastermind, Junko, wasn't actually dead. So I don't know. I wasn't convinced. I was like, I think there's a chance still that it could be Rintaro who was behind all this.
Oh, God, I want to pose the question. If we had to guess what character from a previous game would be driven to the kind of madness to produce this killing game, who would it be?
Not Junko.
Not Junko, sorry.
Oh, we're eliminating Junko.
Yeah.
I was going to say Nagito.
Right, because he wants to watch hope prevail through the despair.
I would say this is a little bit of a cop-out. The entire second game class, what is that, the 78th class? Because remember at the end of D3 when they're all in the boat and they're like, hell no, we're not going to follow the rules. Like, we are living our own life and we might make some evil choices sometimes and we might make some good choices sometimes. I feel like they could totally do this.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I was going to say Nagito or like there's a very twisted version of it where it's like Makoto has just been through it, been through the ringer. You know what I mean? Just been through the ringer. But that would be like ultimate despair if Makoto is evil. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Maybe this is like a, this is going to be a Black Mirror spoiler. So skip ahead if you don't want to hear it. But like a White Bear type episode where all of these people are really evil. And this is Makoto's way of punishing the evil to put them in the killing game.
Wow. Crazy.
Very Hunger Games vibes.
Yeah. But those are just children. They didn't do anything wrong.
No, it's 100 on Monokuma this time, right? 0 on the kids.
Oh, but I thought you were saying in response to White Bear where the people in the game were evil and they were being punished in the Hunger Games. The kids,
sorry,
in the Hunger Games are not—they're not evil. They're little babies.
Yeah, no. I meant at the end of the Hunger Games when, you know, Katniss is like, should we stop the games? And then decides not to and instead makes all the kids of the people who forced them to do the games participate.
Oh.
But I did not explain that at all when I
said understand. Hunger Games vibes. I hear you. Okay, yeah, I got it. Got it. I forgot about that, actually. That's pretty terrible of her to do.
It was wild. I didn't expect it of her, but, you know.
I get being
angry. Who am I to judge Katniss Everdeen?
Right, honestly, right? Yeah, like, we're not in that situation.
I say that after judging all of these people for going on 4 seasons.
I know, literally. Maybe we touched on this a little bit in the last episode, but maybe it's time to perhaps delve into this. Kaede and what she did, murdering a person, you know, and Marin has spoken previously of the fact that she does not like that Kaede did this because it's like still kind of just like, why did you go to this extreme to do this? And I was in that boat before. I have changed my mind. I think and I'm not saying that what she did wasn't stupid. I think it was really dumb. But I also understand why she did it, and I think that she took accountability after. You know what I mean? Obviously, like, ending a person's life is like bad and is not good, and she didn't intend to kill an innocent person, and we won't know, and we might find out later. We don't know who Rintaro is, so spooky. But I gotta say, this time around, like, I was like, man, like, she really just wanted to get out, and because of the time limit, kind of like what Marin was talking about, she was like, if anyone's gonna die, it's gotta be the person behind this. And as soon as Shuichi kind of brought that idea in, it was like, I kind of get why she did it. Not that I would do the same thing, and not that I think that, like, Rintaro deserved to die or anything like that, but I think because she did take responsibility for it and fessed up to her crimes and basically sacrificed herself for the sake of the others as well, you know, I kind of gotta forgive her for it, you know. Yeah, so I'm a changed woman.
I am in a similar boat with you, Caroline. My initial gut reaction is to say, like, no, what she did was wrong. Like, she shouldn't have, you know, gone furtively behind everyone's backs and tried to commit a murder. Like, she should have, like, I don't know. Yeah, that's my gut instinct to say, like, no, it was definitely absolutely wrong what she did. And, like, again, like you said, I'm not condoning murder, but I do think that in light of this time limit and the threats on them and the idea that there's this mastermind behind, like, coercing them into this situation, I do think that what she did was at its essence an act of self-defense and an act out of a desire to protect the other people around her who were innocent. And so, yeah, I kind of can't fault her for that. And I know I've mentioned this a little bit before, but I kind of respect her for doing something,
right?
Rather than just, like, being like, oh, we're so helpless, we're all gonna die, like, whatever. She took matters into her own hands, and she was like, I don't want to let everyone around me die, so I'm gonna do something about it.
Yeah, right. And if she had shared it with anyone, even Shuichi, like, what if Shuichi, on the off chance, was the mastermind, you know, like, that would Jeff, you know, I don't know. Yeah, like, I get why she didn't collaborate on the endeavor. Or, you know, maybe she just didn't want anyone to see that really badly computer animated Rube Goldberg machine. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I just, anyway, it's again, gray area. And you even see the kids struggling with it at the end, after the trial.
I have mixed feelings about it as well. I mean, I said in the first half of this episode that, you know, I think it's 100-0 on Monokuma because there's a time limit. So I totally get that. I don't understand why she didn't talk to Shuichi, because they already had a plan to trap the mastermind. So if he's the mastermind, it's already failed. And so, like, she, if she was planning to trap the mastermind with him, she should trust him to discuss killing the mastermind. I don't think there's a defense for that. Like, she's already gone halfway, go the full way. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think there's a difference in those two plans. Yeah, just talk to someone. Like, literally, you chose to trust him to trap the mastermind. So you can't then go back on your word and say, but I don't trust him to trap the mastermind further. Like that, yeah, I don't see that I have a little bit of a hard time with. And then the other part, I mostly agree with what you guys are saying, but Kokichi has this really, really fantastic, like, passage at the end of the chapter where he says, like, it doesn't even matter what your intentions were. The second you started thinking about, well, maybe it's okay to do this for this person, you're already playing the game. And yep. That's not word for word, but that he said that. And I was like,
he's so right. Like, he's so correct.
He is, like, though. He is the first, like, genuinely, like, self-aware, I think, Danganronpa character that we've had in the entire franchise who realizes that. And or at least is able to voice it like that and put words to that idea.
Right. He tells people things that they know but don't want to say or don't want to hear.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He is a liar, but he forces people to stop lying to themselves.
Oh, brilliant. My gosh, Maddie. Oh,
Maddie. Man. Brilliant. Oh my god.
I wanted to respond a little to what you said, Marin, about, you know, why wouldn't Kaede trust Shuichi to share her plan about killing the mastermind? And I will counter that I don't think it was this would be my prediction, like, thinking about Kaede's personality and everything. I don't think it was an issue of trust. I think that Kaede would absolutely have trusted Shuichi. I don't think Kaede ever thought that Shuichi was the mastermind. Part of me thinks that she probably didn't want to share her plan with him because she didn't want him to feel the guilt of being complicit in a murder plan. You know what I mean?
But would he have been complicit? I think she didn't want to hear someone tell her it was a bad idea. Because he would have said, no, we can trap him or her or them. And, you know, like, I think he would have told her it's a bad plan. And I think she didn't want to hear that.
Right.
Yeah. Which, like, you could make an argument, you know, that, I don't know. It's just like
this is extrapolating a lot from, you know, a fictional character who we don't probably know the answer to that because she never says anything along those lines. But yeah, I mean, raise a good point.
But yeah,
you raise a good counterpoint to my counterpoint.
Thanks. I know she, like, well, actually, I don't know. We suspect that she might have some sort of feelings toward Shuichi, like platonic or romantic, you can debate. But maybe she was just embarrassed because, like, that's a very, very dark plan to enact. And so maybe she didn't share with him because, like, she didn't want him to think of her that way until maybe the plan succeeded. And then she could be like, he'll forgive me for this versus, you know, like, ask for forgiveness, not permission kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And I just countered myself.
Right. And it could be a little bit of all of those things. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, yeah. So I want to, it has to do with the, it's called something different in this game, but the, like, panic talk action, like, thing, but it's that plus Claire de Lune. Do we want to, like, wait on that?
Go for it.
We can talk about it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, did a little research on Claire de Lune. Very famous song. We've all heard it before. But I hadn't heard it pop culturally until this game. So it was really cool. But the song is, okay, as you all know from my history of streaming French-themed video games, I'm very bad at pronouncing French words. So please bear with me. But this is it's Debussy. I always read it Debussy. And I need to check myself before so I don't just say Debussy.
Oh my god.
Shingussy.
Did we leave that into the other episode? I was curious.
Is that the... Oh, I left it in.
Yeah!
Yeah, I left it in because I was like, that's fucking hilarious. No one's gonna care. Gussie. Okay, sorry. Anyway, that'll either be in or it'll be in a blooper reel. A little bit there.
Perfect.
Anyway, so, Claude Debussy wrote Clair de Lune as the third movement in his most famous suite for piano, which is called the Suite Bergamasque. Hopefully that's somewhat correct. Anywho, but it's based off of a French poem under the same name by French poet Paul Verlaine that it was written in 1869. Anywho, but I wanted to read you this because it is really good and it has... The themes are on point and just all of that stuff. So here we go. Your soul is a chosen landscape on which masks and bergamasks cast enchantment as they go, playing the lute and dancing and all but sad beneath their fantasy disguises, singing all the while in the minor mode of all-conquering love and life so kind to them, they do not seem to believe in their good fortune. And their song mingles with the moonlight, with the calm moonlight, sad and lovely, which makes the birds dream in the trees and the plumes of the fountains weep in ecstasy. The tall, slender plumes of the fountains among the marble sculptures. That's it.
I love your voice acting voice there. It's very, like, sultry.
Thank you. Anywho, but just really beautiful, all-conquering love and life so kind to them. Like, I have a feeling that the mastermind, I have a feeling that Kaede's legacy will continue through the game.
I feel like, oh my gosh, wait, did someone die in one of the other ones? And then he was, like, motivation for everyone Mondo, else.
Kind of for Taka.
Yeah.
And then, like, Chiaki for Hajime.
Yeah.
There's
been some Sakura, martyrs, one might
Sakura.
Say.
Yeah, right. And so this feels very much, like, in that theme. Anyway. And also just, like, this is the perfect sad boy poem for our sad boy Shuichi at the end of this poor guy.
I think it's important for everyone to note that Clair de Lune has been in a Twilight movie.
Oh, wow. I can't believe I was so... blind to that fact. Thank you so much for educating me.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. It's for Twilight.
Yeah. Right, but that's all my notes before the execution.
I have one last note, and it's that Kokichi gives Kaede the highest of compliments when he says, "Well, Kaede, you definitely weren't boring."
Oh yeah,
at the end of the trial. I was like, I'm like, damn, coming from like Kokichi, that is like a serious statement of like respect, honestly.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, execution is brutal.
Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely.
I have
brutal.
A note for Mono Kid. Technically, it does come before execution, but I know that fellow was a part of the execution, so I feel like it'll flow pretty well.
Oh.
But he has a quote where he says, "I cut off the leg before the poison spread. By spring, flowers will grow from the stump." He's saying some weird things throughout this trial. Like, he kind of, since he like drank the honey to the end of his time in this game, he said some things that reminded me a little bit of Bandai, where like, it was like, does this have a special meaning to it? Like, I don't know. But I think that quote is a reference to actually a Bible verse, Isaiah 10:34-11:4, which is, "He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from its roots the branch will bear fruit. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked." It's like kind of, I know, it's like, I feel like it might be in reference to like Shuichi and his potential new role now that he's, you know, taking the protagonist point of view.
Right,
and
since
also,
there's a stump. Which is
yeah,
Kaede. Yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maddie.
It is the stump.
The stump. That's terrible.
The stump. Oh yeah. But also, I feel like it could be based on Kaede, kind of conversely, just because, like, the part where it's like, he will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. Like, I don't know. Maybe it is just, like, Shuichi, but I felt like he's very much an internal processor, you know, where he's, like, taking in everything and he's not making any rash decisions based on what everyone else is saying. He's, mm-hmm. like, kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool, if that is what it's based on. That's the only Monokid quote, though, that I had anything to say about, other than the one from our last episode where we proved that Monokid is inspired by Will Ferrell.
Oh, cool. And also Kiss. I found that out too.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So the execution is rough. I mean, it's just one of the, like, they're all brutal, but this just, it was like she was already dead. And then they, like, crushed her, like, to just show, I guess, like, finality of that. And it is just so, it's hard to watch because I wouldn't sentence her to death. Probably based on the events of what had happened up to this point, I would not murder her. Yeah, and it's just, like, hard to watch because it's like she had good intentions. All right, everybody, that is the end of our notes for the V3 trial in chapter 1, except we have some spoiler notes after the break. So just a warning, when you come back from the break, we will be spoiling all of V3. I'm going to say it again. We're going to be spoiling all of V3 after the break. So if you have not caught up, we love you so much. Thank you for tuning in. And if you want, you can give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That is a really great way to help the podcast. And we also have a Patreon. The lowest tier is just $2 a month, and you get access to a bunch of cool bonus content, including an episode where Marin and I decided to match up American Girl dolls with Taganrompa V3 characters. It's kind of iconic and pretty much the best thing we've ever created together. So anywho, and we will be right back after the break. Hey guys, it's time to spoil V3.
It's a TV show. Every time. Hey.
It's a TV show. None of it is real.
Whoa.
My first couple of notes are just like things that I noted like as I was going that are like, in hindsight, it feels so much like the fact that this is a TV show is getting literally like rubbed in our faces.
I know. I'm like, yeah. God, I was going to say, God, am I stupid or something? You don't have to be so obvious about it.
You predicted it. Oh my God.
I predicted it because it's so in your face sometimes. I'm like,
It is. But I mean, I don't know about you, Maren, but I didn't see it. I was clueless.
Yeah. Like, in fact, I think because Caroline was saying it while we were playing, I decided to stubbornly take the complete opposite point of view. You know how
that's
I
how
do.
Maren does that.
And so I was like, no, it's not. Tell me what it is. And I said, nope.
Yeah. But I have like a handful of notes, just like things I noticed. Like, it's just like, oh my God, how did I not see this? Monosuke talks about wanting to merchandise the Exosols. This one is a little less, like, I guess, in your face, but the Monocubs in the trial talking about the fastest class trial on record. That was a funny moment. The right before Kaede's execution, there's like a screen like with like LCD lights or whatever that lights up and it says live on it, like this literally being broadcast live. And Monokuma describing the executions as the latest in despair entertainment.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of that.
Yeah, a lot of that going on.
He also says the series has been running too long.
Oh, yeah.
That one got me. I was like, oh, well. Yeah.
53 seasons. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a long time. So I definitely want to talk about like the biggest thing in the room, which is for this chapter, which is the syntax of things matters so much. It is like to the T. Like for the motive, it's everyone forced to participate will die in this if someone's not murdered. And the gag is none of them know that they weren't forced to participate. They volunteered. They wanted to do this. And that is like crazy. And then the other one I noticed was when it's Kaede's punishment, usually it says so-and-so was found guilty, time for his or her punishment, depending on what gender of the character. But this one said something like Kaede Akamatsu was voted guilty, time for the punishment. You know what I mean? So it's like, it is so small, but it's there. And it's so like crazy. And I don't want to go too far into like comparing this and chapter six right now, because I think there's just going to be so much more to like unpack there. We all know, you know, kind of what's going on, but like, that's nuts. Anywho. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to say is that I was going to say in the first part is I think Tsumugi neglected to realize how the power of Kaede as a martyr. Like, I think that she, her death really like, and she killed her because she was threatened by her.
Well, it was interesting because Rintaro says that to Kaede. He says, they're going to come for you, which was interesting because I don't know. I didn't feel like anyone really reacted to that. Like, Kaede was like, he's weird. And then like left with Shuichi. But like, yeah, I guess I was curious. Was that something where Tsumugi was going for Kaede, or was it happenstance that that happened? Like, how did Tsumugi know that that was going to happen? You know, like, we know that Rantaro knew about the door because of his past experiences. So he was not sent or tipped off by Tsumugi. That was what Kaede had kind of figured was the mastermind had sent Rantaro there at that time. So it's kind of like, was Tsumugi just lucky and got to like, lucky I'll say in quotes, and got to like kill off Kaede, or is there something that we don't see in this game?
Right. Well, I mean, there are cameras everywhere, microphones everywhere. It's likely she knew of their plan and maybe had, because again, there are cameras everywhere, had a suspicion that Kaede might try something, maybe based on the book stacking, maybe based on taking the shot put ball. I don't know. But also, you know, there's these personalities of these people are fabricated. And so there's also the argument of like, she knows the personalities of these fabricated characters. And so maybe she knew that Kaede's character would try to do something like that because of the way she is so nonstop for other people. Like, she's selfless to the point of sometimes being selfish and how selfless she wants to be and like taking matters into her own hands.
I agree with that. I think that, I mean, considering the power that they have with this whatever technology is in this universe to like take away selective memories and implant selective memories into these people's brains and like memories of entire lives they haven't actually lived, I would believe it if it was like some kind of predetermined thing that like Tsumugi maybe planted the idea, not the specific idea maybe, into Kaede's mind, but definitely like a possibility for it to happen. Like, I think that if this really is the case where they've all been like implanted with these fake personalities and fake memories, they're probably a lot more predictable to Tsumugi than we might think.
I would be curious then how far that explanation would be able to go. I'm not saying that that's incorrect, but if she could predict this, then why didn't she predict that she'd be a martyr figure? Why didn't she predict that, you know, this game would end? You know, like, I don't know. It'd be, because then we're talking about her potentially being omniscient. If you can really predict people's personalities that far out, or with these minute factors, or in a trauma situation, we talked in like games one and two about how different the personalities are in this traumatic scenario versus in a normal day-to-day life. So have they like mastered the ability to kind of control it to that level? Like, I don't know. It's just like, it brings up a lot of questions.
Yeah. She's like God, if that's the case.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. Or it was a coincidence, or it's just hard to say. And I think I'll have more thoughts on it after I replay chapter six, because we'll have more information, I think. But I do, I honestly think that Kaede's murder was not, I mean, was intentional. I think that Tsumugi maybe realized that she created a hope too powerful for the group and was like, okay, I have a feeling she might try to do this, or I want to frame her or something. I don't know. Something.
Yeah. Just, well, speaking on her potentially being kind of like an omniscient presence, Monokuma says, if I lied, it would shake the game to its very foundation.
I worked on that quote too.
Yep, me too.
And he lied. Oh, it's like shaken. He literally did. And we know that it does get shaken. Yeah, shook. It's shook.
Yeah.
It's been shook. So maybe she is some type of omniscient presence in this world. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
Right. I feel forever vindicated by the fact that I was right about the blood on Rintaro's hand and on the camera.
Yeah, no, Maddie, please share about this because this is so funny. This is hilarious.
I mean, in our non-spoiler notes, I was like trying to skirt around it being like, I thought it was really annoying that the artists weren't that consistent this time, that it looked like there was a bloody handprint on the camera. Like, I didn't say it in that many words, but like, I did have a note about that that was like non-spoilery, but like this is like circling back to, I actually have so much respect for the Danganronpa artists because they did deliberately make that tiny detail because maybe they thought a handful of people, maybe a lot of people playing wouldn't notice, maybe a handful of people will, and it'll make them think that something's not right here. And it'll keep nagging at them that something's not right here until the very end. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm like, this game is so good.
Yeah. Basically, Maddie texted Caroline and I and said, like, the blood splatter doesn't match up. And Caroline and I
had finished the
gaslight. No. This was still, like, we were only, like, two or three chapters in.
Are you for real?
And
that's so funny.
I remember this so distinctly. Caroline and I chose to, like, we didn't choose, it just happened, but we like gaslit Maddie into being like, it literally doesn't, like, they proved that she was guilty, and then we got to the end and we're like, are you kidding? That's right,
we like unintentionally gaslighted Maddie because we thought we were right.
Yeah. And then we kept the like lie alive, the gaslighting. We're like, yeah, no, it doesn't mean anything
right after. Oh my gosh, yeah, that's so true. I know Maddie was really on that. She was like, it doesn't match, it doesn't work. And now in hindsight, like, Maddie is kind of a genius for you know, thinking of that. But it's just like, man, yes, Maddie Slay
Justice
Queen.
Justice for Maddie. Yeah.
Justice
Thank
for
you.
Maddie.
I have a couple more notes. I've got like five more.
Fire away, I'm done.
Thanks. Okay. First off is Gonta lifting the manhole cover. I felt like that was foreshadowing a very violent death, to be honest, because I don't know if maybe it was supposed to be a red herring for this chapter, but him being really strong, like someone mentioned, like, wow, he'd be able to do such and such with a strength like that. And throwing a shot put ball far, that I didn't feel like it matched up, and so I almost wondered if it was more of like a premonition for whichever death looks the most violent could be a going to death later. You know, I don't know, that was kind of something on my mind, I guess, during that scene.
Interesting. Oh, I have thoughts on that. I do actually have two more notes, which one is another foreshadowing for another character. We get foreshadowing for Correkio's situation, I'll call it.
Yeah.
Which is like that part with like the radiant light shining down. And I hadn't realized in the first playthrough of this game that he's talking to his sister when he does that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, like, wouldn't you kill for the one you love? Like, I certainly would. Or
would you do anything for the one you love?
Yeah. He's like, I certainly would do that. Or like something like, yeah.
I thought another foreshadowing thing could have been the escape game. And I didn't obviously make it to the end of it. So I don't know how far this would go. I do want to start with that this could be absolutely nothing. But that escape game starts with like bombs dropping onto your heads. Well, actually, it starts with like trying to escape and then like pushing the door in, which I was like going outside. And then it has bombs dropping onto your heads. And then the next challenge is like a water pit that you drown in. And then cages drop from the sky. Like, it felt very much like a chapter by chapter thing. I don't know what happens after the cages, because that's where I failed. But yeah, I just thought it was potentially a foreshadowing.
No, that's actually, I hadn't thought of that. It's neat. I'll do my last note.
Yeah. No, please.
Which I realized when I was reading that poem, there's just so much about this game in there. Holy cow. It's like, it said, your soul is a chosen landscape on which masks and bergamasks cast enchantments as they go. Like, literally, like, they're wearing a mask, they're wearing a costume because they're not themselves. Playing the lute and dancing and all, but sad beneath their fantasy disguises. Like, what drove these people to the point where they were like, me, I'll be in this terrible thing. Like, you know, I mean, and we'll talk about that more when we get there. I don't want to talk about all of that right now. But yeah, singing all the while in the minor mode of all conquering love and life, so kind to them, they do not seem to believe their good fortune, and their song mingles with the moonlight. Whew. Anywho, that.
So good.
That, yeah, good stuff. Good. I mean, that's got to be on purpose or like somewhat. I mean, it's like, oh my God, everything is so intentional. But honestly, us being like the people with the yarn, the guy with the yarn, and Kadok is probably like, guys, come on, this game is 5 years old. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's funny because going back to the Claire de Lune thing, there's a music track in this game that's titled, I think it's titled Moon on the Water. Which is a cool little reference there. All right. So the first motive, I will say, was a surprise for me. The first blood perk. My first gut instinct was that I didn't believe that Monokuma would actually let someone get away with that. Like, I actually thought that was going to be a lie. But then again, we know that Monokuma has the reputation of never actually lying, only to potentially, in a special circumstance in this game, bend that rule. But and the same thing occurred to my the same question lingered in my mind in terms of the time limit motive on whether or not that was actually true or was it a bluff. However, I did wonder if this first blood perk motive thing and the time limit motive, do you think that they've used this in every season as like the first motive, or do you think this was like a new thing?
Question before we answer that, do we want to do an episode where we talk about how the games are similar in the chapters?
I would like to do that.
Okay, me too. I just feel like that question is a great question, but it might be better for that type of episode. Like comparing the motives and comparing the victims and the killers and like that kind of thing for the chapter. Are you okay with that?
I'm cool with that. I'll table it. I'll put a pin in it.
Put a pin in that.
I'll highlight it real quick.
But the first part of that was good for now. The like first half of your question.
Yeah, just like was it a bluff or not? And I also think that like, I part of me thought it was a bluff, but then part of me was also, well, at first I thought it was a bluff. And then towards the end of the game, when we find out everything that's going on, I'm like, okay, well, maybe it kind of wasn't, because if this is a show being produced specifically for entertainment, then it kind of makes sense a little bit more, because it might just be the thing they use every season to get the murders going, because if no murders happen, the viewers are going to get bored. So they need something there to like spark the conflict, you know.
I feel like Caroline might have touched on it earlier. Caroline, I don't know if you were about to say that, but when you mentioned a quote, I wrote it down. It was the, why did you come here if you didn't want to participate, or like The only people killed were the ones who weren't forced to participate. Sorry, I want to make sure I'm not doing like a double negative there. But like, yeah, so I don't think it was a bluff. I think it was like the syntax that Caroline was touching on. Like, I don't think anyone would have died.
Right, because if they had gone to the end. None of them were forced to be there.
Gotcha.
They all signed a contract, probably.
So in that case, it was sort of... There probably was actually no plan in place to be like, okay, all right, press the button, everyone dies, next cast, you know, that kind of thing. Like, that's all the right thing I was skeptical of, is being like, I just don't think that would, like, be a thing. I don't know. Like, it would be like, it'd be a waste of a whole cast of characters, you know, coming from the thing, probably from Samugi's point of view. That'd probably be a huge waste. But yeah, no, that's a good point for sure.
And I don't even think that it would have ended the game if they had waited the time limit and then no one died. They would have been like, Monokuma, ha ha ha, we must have beat him somehow. And he'd be like, nope, you just weren't forced to participate. And can you imagine the dynamic shift? Like, the denial, the anger, it would be like the stages of grief for these people. And like, I don't feel like that would be a failure to Monokuma. Right. Might not be what he wants, but it would just add tension. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really true. And I think that it's worked before. You know, maybe they've tried this before. Kind of like, yeah.
Kind of going back to talking about Samugi potentially being all-knowing, I found a note way at the bottom here that kind of touches on that. Against the idea that that Samugi is all-knowing in this game setting, Monokuma tells Kokichi that he thinks he'll live for a long time in this game, and he tells Kaito that he won't live very long. And I think that that's really interesting. I don't know if it's just Monokuma joking, or I don't know, like, they die in the same chapter, and so it's kind of like, maybe that points to the fact that she has no clue what she's talking about, and she's just going off her gut, or, you know.
And Kokichi dies before Kaito.
Right.
So, true. Yeah, I guess I, you know, Monokuma can't fully 100% predict the future then. So, or he was just messing with them. I don't know. Yeah, I'd be skeptical of Samugi being like completely, completely omniscient. But I do think she's a bit of a puppet master. All right, so my next note is back to the bonus scene where Samugi paints Kaede's nails. It's hilarious in hindsight, because I remember when I was talking about being like, Samugi paints Kaede's nails, and Kaede's like, ooh, this is so pretty. And then Rintaro comes along and is like, uh-uh, no, watch the real talent, and paints Kaede's nails, and Kaede's like, wow, that's even prettier. And Samugi's like fuming in the corner.
Murder!
It's like, it's literally like Samugi, like, because of that scene, Samugi was like, I'm going to kill Rintaro and frame Kaede for it, because I hate that. Like, because this literally happens, like, right after that scene.
Yeah,
that's true. So funny. Oh my gosh. Mm. My next note is, we know at the end that Samugi opens this door from a different door, and I won't go too much into that, kind of like what Caroline was saying, you know, we don't want to talk about chapter 6 right now, but it's very strange to me that the cast like only assumed that there was one way into this hidden door.
I know,
yeah, like, I get that maybe it's kind of like the assumption, like, I'm not saying that it wouldn't be easy to just kind of think that that is the truth and then never question it again. I totally get that. But for none of them to wonder if there's another way in, especially like, we see that door automatically close right when like the murder happens and whatnot. And it's like, my first thought was, who just went back into that room? My thought wasn't like, everyone's out of the door now. Like, it just automatically closed. Oopsie. Like,
yeah.
Oh, none of them wondered if there was another way.
I literally also had that thought this time. Yeah. I mean, again, hindsight's 20/20, but like, I really am like, yeah.
My next note is a question. What is the point of the research labs?
You're gonna say, what is the point?
What's
the point?
yeah, not sure. I I think it's like a little, maybe this is a new thing they're experimenting with this season. You know, hiring a decorating team. Clearly, this is the most decked out, like, thing ever. Like, everything is so over the top for this game. So it could be that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just like a sponsorship deal. Like, they show the piano room and they're like, get your new grand piano at Kohl's with your Kohl's cash. Like,
oh my God, Mary, you sounded like a commercial. They're like, you your did. Voice. Like, I just assumed, I guess it was just like to add credibility to the like, oh, you're the ultimate students and we want to hone your talents. And so here are your research labs, and just like adding to the whole like facade of this being like a real thing with the ultimate talents. But I don't know. I don't know if there was like, I don't know, maybe they just get more content for the show out of like people using the research labs. I don't know. Or it maybe gives them more like creative ways to think of murdering people. I don't know.
But like very few of the rooms are used, I feel like, in murders, if I'm remembering right. correctly. Mm-hmm. I think it would have made more sense if that was their bedrooms.
Yeah, no, like that actually dorm. I had that thought as well. I was like, yeah, because it would be more interesting if their rooms were themed like after their yeah. talent.
I only have one more note, which is I think it is so cute in this chapter that when Kaito is forming his 7-member group that is somehow better than everyone else, he picks Maki because, quote, you look like you can fight, end quote. And so, like, it was just so cute to me that he saw through her. And I feel like that was the first time that she showed any warmth towards him.
Yeah.
She was kind of like, he just said he knew. And, like, there's a difference to the way she said it versus before, when I feel like she says a lot of things like he's being an idiot or things like that in the rest of this chapter. And that was kind of, not that everyone ships them together, but I know that's a pretty popular ship. And I feel like that was a kind of a nod to that.
Yeah, definitely.
My last note is about Monodom killing Monokid. Why does he do that? Do we ever find out why? I don't remember.
The deal is with that.
I was
yeah.
like, oh my God, I forgot that happened. And then they were like, ah, he's trying to get revenge on Monokid for the bullying. And I was like, ah.
Okay. Like, sounds good.
Ever get an explanation?
I don't know. I don't remember. We might find out later.
I can't remember either. I mean, the bullying, I guess.
I guess we'll stay tuned. Or it's like one of the yeah. The like low level employees helping work on this show who like is in like really terrible working conditions, and so they're like getting revenge. They're like trying to take it out on each other and cause chaos by like killing one of the other. They have like little remote controls maybe, and it's like
yeah,
I'm gonna kill that
maybe
one.
It's like every season there's these little bears, and it's like one of them's gonna go with each of the, you know, chapters or whatever. Like,
maybe people like sports betting on like which bears,
yeah,
right? Chapter.
Or like, you know, when you go to baseball games and they're like, there's like 4 mascots that run and you have yeah. to guess who's like gonna win or whatever, like something like that, yeah. And yeah, Monica yeah. just was.
All right, everybody, we're going to go ahead and do a bedwet behead. So for this chapter, we are going to be doing Kaede, the culprit, Rentaro, the victim, and Shuichi, our new protagonist. Yeah!
I already know my answer. This Maddie, is so easy for me. And
go.
I'm sorry, because I know you guys are, you know, I'm going to be head Kaede. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I've been there. I've been there, Maddie.
Out of the 3 of them, you know, it just, yeah. Because Rentaro and Shuichi, I have quite a fondness for both of them. I like both of them a lot. I love their aesthetics. If they were real, they'd be like definitely like my type, because they're both kind of like not super like masculine guys. Like Rentaro's very androgynous, and like I love the vibes that they both have. And so I would probably bed Rentaro and wed Shuichi, because like I said, they're both like really my type, but Shuichi, I feel like I'd have more of an emotional bond with.
Yeah. Okay, I would wedge Shuichi because I said this in our Bestie Fix Waifu episode, but my current partner reminds me most of Shuichi meets Maki kind of vibes. So I would say I would wed Shuichi because I like Sarah. I would bed. I don't know. I would.
This is actually so interesting.
I would bed Kaede, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. I like her better than I used to. Just personality wise, I think she's just a sweet gal. I think it would be a fun time. And then I would behead Rentaro.
I would behead Kaede. I would wed Shuichi and I would bed Rentaro.
Wow, we all wedded Shuichi.
I know, that is interesting.
All right, everyone, that wraps up chapter one of V3. Case one is done. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. Yeah, this is a fun start to this game, and we hope you'll stick around. Maybe replay the games while we're going through this. Enjoy it a second time, or third, or fourth, or however many times you've played it. But with us, the Ultra Hope Girls. If you'd like to follow us, we are everywhere. We would love to see you on social media. If you have any questions for us, make sure you drop those on Twitter. You can leave us a voice message on anchor.fm, and we will hear it, and you'll have the chance to be featured in our season wrap-up, which might seem far away. But those always seem to sneak up on us. Make sure you become a
that felt like a self, like a point at like us.
It's gonna turn that finger
right around us.
Make sure you become a patron. Lowest tier is just $2 a month, and you get access to so much cool content. Did you hear me reference Twilight earlier? We all watched that as a Patreon Discord server earlier this year. So, like, yeah, tune in for that. That's a good time. And that's all. We will see you next time. We appreciate y'all being here.
Bye. Bye.